Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
All right, well, here we are. I wanted to just take a few minutes here to talk with you. I sat myself in front of the Christmas tree here at Emmaus for a particular reason, not just for the aesthetics and the fact that we're entering into the Christmas season. But I've always really liked Christmas trees, and in particular, I've liked Christmas trees that had the white lights. We were talking about this the other night with some friends, and it probably stems from the fact that when I was a little boy, 7 years old, my dad, who was in the Air Force, got stationed to Germany. And so a lot of my early memories of Christmas revolve around that picturesque European German village in the mountains, and you know, you just can imagine it. I'm kind of aging myself here by telling you this, but it was back in the day when they actually waited until Christmas Eve, and after Mass they would light live candles on their Christmas trees in their homes. Now obviously that's not common practice. I think a few houses may have burnt down as a result of that. But I can remember the white lights were big in Europe. And when I grew up as a little boy down in the South, we always had those strands of lights that were like the bulbs, the colorful big bulbs that were just bright and just variety of colors, right? And so I remember the first Christmas that we were living in Germany. My parents, we all went out into the forest. We cut down a tree. And then my dad cut down a second tree. And we brought that second tree and we put it on the deck of our house in Germany. And we lived kind of on a hill. And maybe you've heard this story, but it's kind of fun to remember it. Because here we are. We're a couple of weeks before Christmas. Now remember, back then they didn't do all of these lights. This was just something that we did as a family, and we brought it to Germany with us. And we were kind of like those obnoxious Americans that just kind of did our own thing. Well, sure enough, we propped this tree up on the corner of our deck, and we're a house that you can see from the village. And my dad used wire and he strung it so that when the wind blew, it wouldn't blow the tree over. And he took those big, bright, colorful lights and he strung them around that tree. And a couple weeks before Christmas, that first night that he lit that tree up, I mean, you could see it all from the village. And I remember distinctly the fact that that the door started knocking and people started showing up to our house. And we didn't really speak German and we didn't understand what they were saying, but they were bringing us things like chocolate. So I was happy as a kid. I'm like, wow. And so it was really a turning point for us as a family. We'd been living in that village for a few months. We had kind of gotten the cold shoulder. But after that night, it was like we were part of the family. And I just remember that distinctly. And ever since, you know, my childhood, and I'm sure many of you, we've enjoyed Christmas and Christmas trees and the lights and so forth. And really, it's kind of an interesting celebration because, of course, we don't see that in the Bible. We could even make an argument that it's worldly and that maybe it has some pagan roots and so on and so forth. But I think what's redeemable about it is the fact that it's a celebration of light around the birth of Jesus. Okay, and that's the point. I mean, some would even say Jesus probably wasn't even born in December. You know, he's probably born in the summer. Well, regardless of the exact date of his birth, I'm sure that's important at some level. But for us, in the context of our culture that we live in, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus in a season where the nights are the longest, where we have the shortest days It's around, you know, the winter solstice. And so just a couple of days after the winter solstice. And so here it is. In the darkest part of our year, we celebrate light. And I think that's really kind of key for me. I know that for me, I was going to read the lyrics to a song that's been one of my favorite worship songs for probably 15 or so years. And it's a song by Matt Redman that many of us know. And it's a song entitled, Here I Am to Worship. And I want to read just the lyrics to this. I'm probably not going to sing it for you, but I will read it for you. It says, Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. And then, you know, the chorus and the bridge, which is about, you know, I'll never know how much it costs really to see my sins on the cross. And so, beautiful. And I think the thing that captures me is the idea of light coming into a dark place. Was it St. Francis of Assisi said that all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle? And there's just something about light that we have to just take a look at here. I know for me this morning, that's where I want to go. And so I want to allow the scriptures to create for us a seedbed that will bring some hope to us as I talk about the light of Christ here for a few minutes. And I'm going to start with John 8:12. Jesus says this to us, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So much in that. And how about Colossians 1:12-14? We give thankful praise with joy in our heart to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So the light of Christ is your inheritance. The light of Christ is your position before God. And the light of Christ is really and truly your identity. We are children of light. And we are invited into this relationship with the light of Christ, which actually is given to him from the Father. We know from Scripture that God is referred to as the Father of light. And in him there are no hidden folds of darkness. And so there's just pure light that just, I don't know, I'm fascinated by that. You know, because when we think about light, when we think about the white light in particular, that is the culmination of every light in the spectrum, you know, all the way from red to, you know, violet and purple and, you know, everything in between, orange and yellow and all of that red. And so all of the different shades or facets, I should say, of light are all in culmination here in the white of light. And so I just love just the metaphor of that, the symbology of that, I guess. But I think we're going to find here this morning that it extends beyond metaphor and extends beyond just symbolism here. I think there's something distinctly important for us here. So listen to Ephesians 5:8-9. Once you were full of darkness. Once you and I were full of darkness. But now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. So now it starts to move away from just metaphor, away from just a concept, like light is good, we know that. And it starts to move into a place of what light is producing in us, okay? It only produces what is good. The light of Christ only produces what is right. The light of Christ only produces what is true. So think about that. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. All of those are embodied in the person of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We understand that, you know, his goodness, the goodness of the Lord is an attribute of who he is. And that is all part of him being the light of the world. And it's also a part of our identity as we have come into the light, as we have come out of the dominion of darkness and come into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the man Christ Jesus. We have entered into and we have been identified with the things that are good, the things that are right, and the things that are true. And that's what's been established in you as children of light. So you were rescued into the light of Christ, and you were established in the light of Christ, and you are light. So let me read Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp up and then cover it with a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they will see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. Good deeds. Interesting how that's tied in with you being the light. And I think this is really important for us because we need a bridge that helps us cross from concept and metaphor and symbolism over into the world of action, the world of being and doing combined. So we are children of the light. We've been brought into the kingdom of light. Jesus has established us in that place, and it brings only that which is good and right and true, and that gets expressed in our doing. And this kind of ties in with what I shared at the last Aspen Grove about your surpassing grace, doesn't it? I mean, those things that God has given you to do, those ways that God has given you to express your life out towards others, that is letting your light shine before men and women and your neighbors and the people that you work with and those in your home fellowship there. This is the light of Christ being expressed through you in good deeds. And I suppose good deeds and good works and goodwill towards men, right? All of that can be summed up in the same sort of package of God has given you things to do. In fact, you have been predestined for these good works. You have been predestined for these good deeds that God has prepared beforehand for you to be doing. And in that doing, you are letting the light of Christ shine. You're living as children of light. And so think about it. You walk into a room, it's full of people. Can you imagine that God has already predestined something for you to do in that scenario that will help bring the light of Christ into the world? You and I are the conduits of that. You and I become expressions of the light of Christ, and it's done in very specific deeds, specific things. Yes, it can be encouraging words. Yes, it can be kindness, of course, absolutely. I mean, what does Titus say? When the kindness of God appeared, he saved us. I mean, there is an expression of kindness in Jesus that is very, very true. And then it can be more and more closely tied to actual like assignments. Think about the predestination of the good works that God has for you. They're not willy-nilly. I mean, he has plans for you. And they're plans that are good. And they're plans that are right. And they're plans that are truthful, you know? And so that is the light of Christ being expressed. And so I think without trying to drum up a long list apart from the scripture, let me just bring us back down to Isaiah 58, all right? And this is what's going to help us understand that the light of Christ is active. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free. And remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. I don't know why that strikes me as funny, but it does. It's really not funny. It's so true. It's like, okay, you're bringing it home, right? This is really getting close to home here. We're talking about, you know, just meeting people's needs that are the closest to you. All right. It doesn't have to be a noble adventure that takes you all around the globe. It can be right in your own family. That's the beauty of it. Okay. So let me keep going with this. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. And when you call, the Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here," he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those who are in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as the noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are in a dry place and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. So we see here that, you know, what we're celebrating in Christmas, you know, the coming of Jesus, we really are celebrating the coming of the light of the Lord coming to this dark world. And we're also celebrating how we have been established in that light, how we have been identified in that light, and how we have been activated by that to do things that will help other people. Now, you know that when we are moving from this place of compassion and moving from this place of offering ourselves out to others in a form of perhaps sacrifice, in a form of love expressed without any hope or expectation for return, that unconditional love expressed in very practical ways, then you know that the light of Christ is spreading, and we are equally recipients of the life flow that comes from that. And so I wanted to share that with you this morning, and I trust that your time together as you move through this prompt and as you have conversation together, that you'll be looking for opportunities, even here this morning, for ways to express the goodness of God, ways to express the right and the righteousness of God, and ways to express truth that really do brighten up someone else's day. So God bless you as we move into this time.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.